As I told her of these longings and hopeless feelings of my soul, she came close to me and looked into my eyes with such burning love, and threw her arms around me, and said, "I am your soulmate," and knew the fact a short time after you came to the spirit world and entered your hells of darkness, and during all the long years I prayed and prayed for the time to come when I could go to you with my love and awaken in your dead soul the response to my great love. And when the time came that I could go, I was so thankful to the Father that I almost flew to you, with some dread of disappointment I confess, to tell you that you were not neglected or unthought of, but that there was some love in the spirit world that was going to you. Of course, I could not tell you of my soulmate love, for you would not then have understood, but as your soul awakened and the love of the Father came to you, I became happier and happier, and have waited so anxiously for this moment, when I could tell you that this love that had been consciously mine for so long, is all yours. Well, I will draw the veil here, but you can imagine what my happiness was, and as I progressed from sphere to sphere, my happiness and love for her increased and increased. Thus I have told you the story of the life in the spirit world of the wickedest man that God ever permitted to live and gratify his feelings of hatred and revenge. And I, who have passed through this experience, and realized all that it means, say, that the divine love of the Father is able to and does save the vilest sinner, and transforms the chief and foremost of devils into a celestial angel of his highest spheres. I have written long and you are tired. I thank you, and will say good night, and subscribe myself, your brother in Christ, Nero. January 18, 1917. I am here, Frank D. Sirik. I am glad that you could feel the influence of the spirit sufficient to cause you to doubt the personality of the writer, for this spirit who wrote was not Ingersoll and he was permitted to write merely to test your ability or spiritual sense, as we have done before. The spirit 502, who wrote was myself and I did not have with me my usual influence, but assumed that of someone else in order to make the test more complete. Ingersoll is here and was really with you at the church services and so was I and I was interested in what the preacher said and what I wrote you as to the preacher being a medium and his difficulty of receiving, that, the communication from spirit is true. So you may believe that the message contained the truth as to his condition. I do not feel like taking up more of your time tonight, but very soon I will come and write you as I have promised. Tell the doctor that I am glad to inform him that I am here and also that I frequently come to him and enjoy his thoughts and experiences in the matters of the soul. I am still his friend and well-wisher, even though he can't see me or hear my voice, but I am in full sympathy with him in all his efforts to obtain more of the love and in helping mortals as well as spirits. So with my love to you both, I will say good night. Your friend, Sirik. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. I will not write much, for you are not in good condition. However, I was with you tonight at the services and heard the preacher and wished that I could have suggested some thoughts to him that he could have received for he then would have made clear something about spiritualism that he did not. He is a medium and with a little more faith or rather with a little less belief in some of the old orthodox doctrine he would become quite a satisfactory medium to himself at least. What Judge Sirik wrote you is true and we merely wanted to make the test and Ingersoll said that he was astonished that you could detect it. He says that he is learning something new all the time. He wants to write you soon. Well, I must stop and so I will say good night. Give my kindest regards to the doctor, Dr. Leslie Stone, and my love to yourself. Your own true and loving Helen. January 19, 1917. I am here, John. I wish to write only a few lines tonight to tell you that you are not in condition of soul that you should be, and that you may be, for I see that you have been thinking a great deal lately of certain teachings and philosophies that do not lead your soul to the Paget Messages 1917, development that is necessary in order for you to enjoy the love that may be yours and which at times you have possessed and experienced. So I want to advise you to give up the investigating or even reading of these things, and confine your thought to the teachings of truth which you have received and will receive from the spirits of the celestial and the higher spiritual spheres. The meat of what you read in the books that you have been reading is merely speculation and sometimes contains the truth and at other times errors, while what you receive from these spirits who write you of these deep and religious truths are based on knowledge which only spirits of the development of those who write you can learn and instruct you in. The truths that you shall learn from the sources that I have mentioned will be sufficient to enlighten your mind and to develop your soul, and you will find that by learning them, great benefit will come to you. Let these unusual philosophies take care of themselves, because they cannot take care of you, and they only serve to distract your mind from the truths which are real and never changeable and which must determine the condition of men and spirits and movements of the universe. Of course, it may benefit you some to consider the teachings of the Bible which you cherish and accept as the word of God, and which we say is not His word and was never written by men inspired by Him, and which do not contain the sayings as teachings of Jesus. Compare them with the truths which shall come to you from us, and by such comparison you will see what great errors there are in the Bible and what injury the belief in such teachings is doing and have done to humanity. This will be a point of the work that lies before you, because when your work come to be published, it will be read in light of what the Bible contains and the interpretations placed thereon by the theologians and commentators, and the errors will then be readily seen by men, and as a consequence, rejected, and man's conception of God and his relationship to man and the latter's destiny will become the only line and cornerstone. I know that if you follow my advice you will find yourself grow into a better condition for the reception of these truths, and also realize that your soul development will progress with great rapidity, so that your soul perception will become so accurate that you will be able to know the truth and all its inherent meanings. I will try to help you in this regard and will let you feel the influence of my presence and efforts to assist you to get in this condition. I have many messages to write you yet, as well as have the Master and also many high spirits who will contribute to the filling of the book of truths that we know to be truths. So, my dear brother, think of what I have said and determine that you will follow my advice, and you will soon see the beneficial results. Well, there are many other things that you may read and so occupy your mind. History and fiction of the better class, and also many sermons and essays based on the teachings of the Bible, for as I have said, the discussion of these things will help you in comprehending and formulating and fixing in your mind, and so, the real truths. Yes, of course I do, for there are no religious doctrines or teachings on earth that I am not acquainted with. I learn these things in order to appreciate just what men use to help them to avoid false doctrines and beliefs, and to learn the truths which may be necessary for them to know. As you know, there are many beliefs on earth, and some particular truth is required for some particular mind that may be imbued with these beliefs in order to show that mind the error of its belief and the truth that it should know. The Bahaist have not the knowledge of the great truths of the new birth or of the divine love is contradistinguished from the natural love in its purified state, and while their doctrines and teachings are very beautiful and beneficial to men in a moral point of view, yet they do not show men the true way to the celestial home and the coming into an atonement with the Father in the divine nature or in His divine love. So remember what I have said, and you will soon see the results of following my advice. I will come soon and communicate a truth which deals with the great love of the Father. I will not write more now, but in closing, will say that we all love you very much and are very much interested in your work and are working with you. So, only believe and pray to the Father for His love and blessings, and you will find a wonderful happiness and contentment and the opening of your soul perceptions that will bring you very near to Him, and to us all in love and rapport. With all my love and blessing, I am, your brother in Christ, John. 503, The Paget Messages, 1917. I am here, Laura Burrows. I am glad to be able to write you again and tell you that since I last wrote you I have made much progress and come into the possession of much more happiness. Dear cousin, I am so glad that I can tell you this, for I know that you rejoice with me in my happiness and the knowledge of what great mercy has come to me. I merely wanted to say this, for it makes me very happy to come to you in this way. Well, he, her husband, is in the spirit world but in a very dark plane, and is not at all happy. I have been with him some, but have not been able to do him any good, as his old beliefs cling to him and prevent his progress. Sometime we may be able to help him, and will then try. She, Helen, has told me he is not my soulmate, and I have met my soulmate very recently. He is in the same sphere with me and we are very happy together and are trying to progress together. Well, I never knew him on Earth. He lived in Pennsylvania and died a long time before I did, and tells me that he had to go through much suffering and darkness before he got into the plane of light. He is a very beautiful spirit, and I could love him, I believe, even if he were not my soulmate, but as he is, you know what our love means. He is looking at me right and heard your question and says his name was Henry W. Spaulding, and lived in Millville, if you know where that is. After I had made some progress and got some love in my soul, Helen brought him to me one time, and said, Laura, here is a young man who has been very anxious to meet you for some time, and you must not fall in love with him, if you can keep from doing so, and she laughed. Well, I suppose, I blushed, as we mortals used to say, but I did fall in love, as you can imagine, and have been loving him ever since. How we all love Helen for her kindness and the great good that she does. You just wait until you come over, and you will see the most beautiful girl that you ever saw. He returns the satisfaction, salutation, and says that he considers himself very fortunate in having such a cousin, and he means it, for he sees the wonder of the great gift that you have, and the loving and high spirits that come to you. I must say good night now, and with my love I will stop. Your loving cousin, Laura. Let me say a word, Georgie Luckett. I am a spirit who has listened to your last communication and was somewhat interested in what the spirit said about her soulmate and her love for a spirit that 504, she never heard of until after she got into the spirit world. Now that may be all true, and I must say that she and her companion seemed to be very happy, and looked like sure enough lovers that you read of in romances, but what I want to ask is, how could they know that they are soulmates? Of course, they may love each other a great deal and think that there is no one else in all the wide world that can take the place of the one with the other, just as mortal sweethearts have thought and said many a time, to find later they were mistaken. And, as I have heard that this soulmate love is one that admits of no mistake, I should like to know, as I said, how they are certain that they are soulmates. Well, I see your wife, and she says that there is not the slightest difficulty in knowing that you are some other spirit's soulmate, provided you are in condition to be able to receive that knowledge. That of course, some of these old grouchy selfish bachelors would not be able to receive this knowledge, and that is one of their punishments. But whenever the spirit has a loving soul and he has progressed into that condition of development where it is best that he should meet his soulmate, he will meet her and will know the fact when he does meet her. Now, this makes me think some, for I am one of these bachelors, and have never believed in soulmates or anything of that nature, though I have seen a number of couples who claimed that they were soulmates and seemed to be very happy. Yet the fact made no special impression on me, neither did it incite in me any desire to learn if I have a soulmate. But now I believe that I will try to find whether I have or not. Your wife says that when I get in proper condition for having one come to me, she will find her for me and bring her to me, and that I will almost curse myself for having been such a big fool all these years. But I wonder what she means by proper condition? I must go after her and find out, and try to get in that condition. Well, I will do it. I am glad that I broke in here tonight. I am in the light planes of the Earth sphere, and am trying to be a decent fellow, and hope that I am. But as to whether it meets the proper condition, I will find out. Thanking you for your kindness, I will say good night. Your friend, Georgie Luckett. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I see that you are tired and must not, the Paget messages 1917, write more, but I want to say that you must think of the message that John wrote you, for it is a very important one and means much to you as well as to us and our work. He was all kindness and love when he wrote, and so much wants you to follow his advice, and I know you will. Laura wrote and told you the fact about meeting her soulmate. They are very happy and are both seeking for greater inflowing of the divine love, for which I am so very glad. I have not seen him, and hence of my own knowledge can't tell you, but she should know the fact, and of course would only write you the truth. I don't see how she could be mistaken. Well, the last spirit is very anxious to meet his soulmate, but I think I will keep him on the anxious bench for a little while, for he is not altogether in the proper condition, and if he has to worry a little before he meets her it may do him some good. He is a very decent sort of spirit, and I have no doubt will love his soulmate very much, but yet some of his thoughts must change before I bring him to her. Yes, she has made considerable progress, and is a quite loving spirit. She has not yet gotten into the third sphere, but she is seeking the love very earnestly and before a great while will be there. I have taken a special interest in her on account of Mr. Colburn, and I have told her of him and that he is her soulmate, and she is with him quite often. And having seen the doctors Mary write him, she is very anxious to write Mr. Colburn. She now realizes fully that her earth husband is not her soulmate, and that the love which she had for him is a very different kind from what has come to her for Mr. Colburn. The latter is now absorbing her and the former is now a mere recollection of kind thoughts and good wishes for the happiness of her husband. And these thoughts do not in the least interfere with the greater and only decreed love that has come to her. As I say, she is anxious to write him, and very soon she shall have the opportunity. I suppose he would like to know her name while on earth and I will give it now, though she says give only her maiden name, for she says that the only true marriage for her is the one with Mr. Colburn, and she wants to come to him with all the recollection of her earth matter obliterated. Well, her name was Nellie Robinson, and she lived in the state of New York close to the city of Buffalo. She was a village girl and never saw much of city life, and for his gratification she says tell him that her mortal life was as pure and undefiled as pure 505, thoughts and rather spiritual nature would make it. But I will not write more now about her, and will leave her to tell her own story and do her own lovemaking. But say to Mr. Colburn that he is fortunate in having such a beautiful girl for his spirit bride, and I am glad that it is so. I must not write more now. My own dear Ned, I love you with all my heart and soul, and will say good night. Give me my kiss and soon go to bed. Your own true and loving, Helen. January 22, 1917. I am here. Elimrose. I am a Greek, or rather the spirit of mortal who was a Greek, and I lived in the days when Jesus walked the hills and plains of Palestine, teaching his new doctrines of the divine love and the kingdom of heaven. I was not a follower of him or a believer in his teachings, for I was a disciple of Plato and Socrates, and was satisfied of the truth of their philosophy, and did not believe that there were other truths than what it contained. I was a traveler, and at times visited Palestine, and on several occasions heard Jesus teaching the multitudes of people who seemed to be so interested in his discourses. I must confess that I was startled at times by his doctrines, and recognized that while they treated of subjects similar to those contained in my philosophy, yet they were different, and gave to these subjects a new and spiritual meaning that I had never before thought of. I could see that he was not a student of philosophy, or yet, an educated man, as we understood men to be educated, yet he dealt with these questions in such an enlightening and authoritative way that caused me to wonder at the source of his information. And when, at times, he said that he was not speaking of his own knowledge, but that his Father was speaking through him, I was almost ready to believe that such was the fact. You must remember that I believed in God and in the lesser gods or demons who executed his will, and when Jesus spoke of his Father, meaning God, it was not unnatural for me, in a way, to accept what he declared. And then I recollect that I was impressed with the fact that he was not speaking from a mind that had been developed by the study of the philosophies, but from a mind that seemed to have in it that which had been lodged there by some great outside intelligence. He spoke, as he said, with knowledge, and speculations. The Paget Messages 1917, seemed to be no part of his conclusions or the cause of any of his deductions. Notwithstanding these impressions on me, I was too wise, in my own conceit, that my philosophy was the only true one, and that my knowledge of it was without defect, to attempt to give serious consideration to what I had heard Jesus say, and consequently, let the truths which he uttered pass from me. I saw and heard him teach only a few times, and then I heard of his crucifixion and death as a malefactor, and forgot about him. When next I saw him, It was in the spirit world, and this continued after I became a spirit. And then he was teaching the same doctrines that I had heard him teach on earth, but he was a wonderfully bright and glorious spirit. I don't think that I can write more tonight. I will come again. Your brother in Christ, Elimrose. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well dear, you have had quite a remarkable letter from the Greek spirit tonight, and there is in its substance for much thought on the part of the Greeks. We thought it best to have him write because it is a part of the plan that will be disclosed to have some spirits of all nations and creeds and religions write you, for the benefit of their races or followers who may live on earth. Love me and say good night. Your own true loving, Helen. January 23, 1917. I am here, Uliam. I am the spirit of a Jew who lived in the time of Jesus and was a member of the Sanhedrin and sat as one of his judges at the time of his condemnation for blasphemy and iconoclastic teachings against the beliefs and doctrines of the Hebrew faith, and was one of those who voted for the sentence of death upon him, and in doing so was as honest in my conviction and action as it was possible for an earnest believer in his faith to be. Consequently, I was without prejudice against Jesus as a man and, as I believed, a fanatic, and it was only because I was convinced that he was an assailer of, and dangerous to, our religion and the welfare of my race that I consented to his death. Mortals of these days cannot fully understand the exact relationship of Jesus and his teachings to the security of our religion and the preservation of the 506, faith which we believed had been handed down to us by God direct through our prophets and teachers, and when we were confronted with what we believed to be the destructive and irreligious teachings of Jesus and after making the numerous efforts to suppress him by threats and persuasion without effect, we concluded that our absolute and indisputable duty to God demanded that he be removed from the sphere of his activity even though such result could only be accomplished by his death. And if mortals of the present day could understand our deep religious convictions and the sense of obligation that rested upon us to protect and keep whole the divine doctrines and teachings of our faith and especially that one which declared the oneness of God, they would not judge the action of the Jews in condemning Jesus to death to be a thing unusual or unexpected. He stood in the position to us and to our religion of a breeder of sedition just as in modern times men have occupied the position towards the civil governments of breeders of treason and have suffered the punishments which have been with approval inflicted upon them by such governments. But to us he appeared not only guilty of treason to our national life, but of treason to the higher and God-given life of the religious government of our race, the chosen one of God, as we sincerely and zealously believed. Even in latter days men have appeared and claimed to be the especially anointed of God with missions to perform and have gathered around them a following of people whom they have impressed with the truth of their character and mission and of their teachings, and for a short time were permitted to declare their claims and doctrines and then suddenly brought to death by the decree of those who were in authority, as troublemakers and enemies of the church or state, and have been forgotten and their doctrines disappeared from memory. And only in the instance of Jesus has his death been remembered through all the ages, and those who were the cause and responsible for his death have been desecrated and cursed and charged with the murder of God. Well, I write this to show you that the Jews who took the life and demanded the crucifixion of that just man were actuated by motives other or different from those that have many times since caused the very followers and worshippers of that Jesus to murder and crucify other men who have, the Paget Messages 1917, claimed to be the sons of God endowed with special missions for the salvation of mankind. The sincerity of the Jews who took part in this great tragedy cannot be assailed. And even their Roman masters at the time understood that the demands for the death of Jesus did not arise from personal spite, or the satisfaction of any revenge against the individual, but solely because they believed and so declared that Jesus was an enemy and would-be destroyer of the divine faith and teachings of the Israelite nation, and a seducer of the people. And it is only because of the subsequent rise and spread of his teachings and the truths that he declared, which have made so large a portion of the inhabitants of the earth followers of him, that the act of the Jews in causing his death has been called the great crime of the world and the people themselves to be hated and persecuted and destroyed as a nation and scattered to all points of the earth. I do not write this to excuse or palliate the great error which we committed in causing the crucifixion and death of the true Son of God, but only to show that they, though as I now know, mistakenly, did that which other men with the same faith and convictions and zealous for the religious preservation of the nation, be these men Jews or Gentiles or pagans, would have done in similar circumstances. But the great element of tragedy in all this is not that Jesus was crucified, but that the Jews were so mistaken and failed to recognize and accept Jesus as their long-looked-for Messiah and Deliverer, not from their material conditions of bondage, but from the bondage of sin and error in which they have lived for so many centuries. This, I say, was their tragedy, and it has been their lasting and deadly tragedy from that time until the present day, and the prospects are that it will continue theirs for many years to come, and that generations of them will pass from the earth life to the spirit world under the shadow of the great tragedy. They still believe, and that belief is a part of their existence and as firmly fixed as in the days of the great mistake, that they have Abraham from their father and that his faith and example are sufficient to show them the true way to God and salvation and that they are the chosen people of God, and by worshipping the one and only God and observing the sacraments and feasts and commands of God that were given to them by and through Moses and the prophets and as are contained in the Old Testament. They will find the heaven of God here on earth and after death rest in 507, the bosom of Abraham. That the observance of the moral and ethical precepts of their Bible is all that is necessary to develop their spiritual natures, and that beyond such development there is nothing to be desired or to be sought for. That sometime they will attain the Adamic condition of reward and happiness, which is the ultimate of man's future existence. Some are still looking for the coming of the Messiah who will restore to them their former glory and rule on earth, as the King and Governor of all the nations and that they will be his chosen subjects and selected to assist in the administration of that Messiah's kingdom. How certain it is that their dreams will never be realized and that unless they have an awakening to the true nature of their God they will never become inhabitants of the Father's kingdom. And I want to say to my people with the certainty of knowledge arising from experience and actual observation, that Jesus of Nazareth was the true Messiah who brought to the world, and first to the Jews, the truths of God and his plans for the salvation of mankind and their restoration to all that they had lost by the fall of their first parents because of their disobedience, and that if the people of my nation had received him and accepted and followed his teachings, they would not now on earth be the scattered, homeless and persecuted race that they are, and in the spirit world would not now be satisfied with their homes and happiness in the spiritual heavens, but would be, many of them, inhabitants of the celestial heavens and the possessors of immortality and God's divine love. You have received many messages describing the plan of the Father for the salvation of men and what the divine love is and how it may be obtained and its effect on the soul of man and spirit when once possessed, and I will not attempt here to enter into an explanation of these things, but with all the love that I have for my race, superadded to a knowledge of the great error and insufficiency of their faith to bring them into atonement with God, I advise and urge them to seek the truth and apply it to their individual souls, and affirm that the truth is contained and the way be found in the messages that you have received from Jesus and the other high spirits. I am a believer in these truths, a follower of the Master and an inhabitant of the celestial heavens, but I want to say that these truths did not come to me as a part of my faith until many long years of life in the spirit world, and that some of the Paget messages 1917, these years I lived in darkness and suffering. So I will say good night and subscribe myself your brother in Christ, Uliam. January 24, 1917 I am here, William B. Cornelise. Let me write and tell you that I have listened to your conversation tonight, and have been much interested in what has been said, and especially in that part of your talk where you spoke of the divine love and the transformation of the soul into what you called the essence of the Father. Well, I desire to say that I have considered spiritual or religious matters for a long time and the ideas that you have expressed are new to me, and open up to my investigation a new field of the possibilities of the soul in its progress. It may seem strange to you that I, who have been in the spirit world for a great many years and been interested in the investigation of what I considered spiritual truths, should not have heard of this doctrine of the transformation of the soul into the essence of God, but it is a fact.